The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. The Jaguars and the Dolphins did a football thing in Florida on Thursday night, and we are here to talk about it with the NFL Super Friends Assemble, myself, Ryan Wilson, and John Breach. What's up? Oh, before I do that, I'm just to tell you that the Dolphins plus three covered because the Dolphins won 31-13. They humiliated the Jaguars. The under somehow hit. I don't know how that bleep the under hit, but it did. It was dead the whole way. It was dead. The over was locked in the entire way. And the under, like the Undertaker gif in that is popular on memes, rose from the coffin like Ryan Wilson just did. You can see him do it on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed, go to youtube.com/pick6. Hit that subscribe button. We are nearing the deadline for our pizza party, and we may just emerge victorious in a crazy comeback by us against the fast-starting David Sampson. Top fantasy performers, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 27 points, and James Robinson, 24 points. The Jaguars' first year back, undrafted, actually scored twice and caught a ton. He was their leading receiver as well. We will get to all of that in a minute. Wilson, Breach, what's up, guys?
Just in case you're wondering, I don't usually wear a hat. I'm wearing a backwards hat. Just in case I meet the CEO of Chevron or Bank of America, shout out to those guys.
And also, speaking of things you don't usually wear, I am wearing a t-shirt hoodie. I'm dressed down so that I can't unzip anything and show off my chest hair because, as we know, we got enough chest hair tonight watching Ryan Fitzpatrick in the post-game interview.
I mean, if I'd known, I would have pulled down on a full V-neck like Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic was
Brinson, now we have to tag this TVMA17 because you just showed something you shouldn't have shown. Don't subscribe to YouTube for this episode. Wait for the next one.
I'll slip a net. Don't make me do it. Don't make me do it, Breach. Fitzmagic was outstanding. It was not Fitztragic. It was Fitzmagic. A perfect passer rating. He had a perfect passer rating on passes of 10 plus air yards or more. 5 of 6 for 87 yards, 1 touchdown and no interceptions on those throws. Overall, 18 of 20 for 160 yards, 2 touchdowns, 133.3 passer rating, completed 90% of his friggin' passes. The Dolphins, Miles Gaskin was great on the ground, 22 carries for 66 yards. Devontae Parker in the Hayes. And Gardner Minshew was absolute dog poo throughout most of the night. The Jaguars receivers did him no favors. And the Jaguars, frankly, after beating the Colts in week 1 and competing with the Titans in week 2, took a massive step back. This team sucks. Screw this team. They're 13 points. Screw them for not being able to do anything more than manage that against a Dolphins defense. It was begging for them to come through the back door and like post some points to hit the over. They couldn't do anything. That was embarrassing. What a joke. And I like Jay Gruden. I think he's a good coach, but I mean, spread out your offense. What are you doing running into the middle of the offensive line over and over again? What you're not like having some, do some crossing routes, do some.
Apparently you didn't watch a single Bengals game when Gruden was the offensive coordinator there. I knew that was coming.
They were good with him.
They were good, but that's because they had more talent than Jacksonville has right now. Those plays work when you have good players.
All of the prop bets that RJ and I discussed on the pregame pod were obliterated. And what's crazy is, so like Keelan Cole and Laviska Shenault, once DJ Chark was ruled out, their prop number shot up through the roof. The Jaguars were down the entire game and they still didn't. I don't know how that happened. They still didn't. So the Jaguars were down the entire game. Gardner Minshew threw 42 times and nobody had a over, and the no wide receiver had more than 50 yards receiving. How the hell does that happen? I mean, Minshew was awful.
He's Derek Carr in that he throws the ball 1 yard past the line of scrimmage typically. I don't think they had a pass, at least late into the third quarter, that went beyond 16 yards for a completion. Maybe eventually they did. I think Robinson had one that went for 24, it looks like. But prior to that, Keenan Cole had the longest reception for 16 yards along with Laviska Shenault. So that's a concern. Also, I'm going to read you a couple stats here that made you guys be surprised to learn after going 13-3 against the spread last week. I'm 1-0 because I took the Dolphins to cover sure. plus three.
But here's did you pick them to win straight up or no, just cover? Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. I love that Breach is only in the straight up game. He doesn't care about against the spread.
That's how you win your money. That's how you win your money. Play it safe.
So here's the Dolphins coming into this game had lost four of their last Thursday night games by a combined score of 140-37. They scored 31 points in this victory. They had recorded zero takeaways in those four games prior to Thursday night. They had two, thanks to the Gardner Minshew strip sack by Kyle Van Noy, and then a terrible interception at the end there to Xavier Howard when they were trying to push the ball into the end zone. And last week's 33-30 loss for the Jaguars marked the 21st straight time they had lost the game when they had allowed more than 24 points. That is now 22 straight. So, yeah, I think the Jaguars in that Colts game probably said more about the Colts than the Jaguars. Colts bounced back last week. Jaguars do not look great.
I agree with Brinson's. You're going to say
what you're saying. What are you saying?
You're saying that Jacksonville isn't that good, or they didn't look that good in the first 2 weeks?
I'm saying that the Colts played bad in that game and that the Colts at the end of the year are probably going to be a lot better team than they look like in week one, and the Jaguars are going to be a crap ton worse.
I agree with that completely. And I think I said that on Sunday night, or I said it before the week. I was like, this is one of those games where the Jaguars are going to win it. And then like 10 weeks later, we were like, whoa, like,
right.
How did the Jaguars win that game? So Jacksonville, kept it close. I think what we may have missed here, and maybe you didn't, Ryan, because you took the Dolphins. I took the Jaguars like a jabroni. I didn't bet on them, but I had them, you know, plus three. I think what we missed was that the Jaguars got sort of a clunky Colts team that wasn't on the same page, had a new quarterback, all of that stuff in week one, traveling on the road as huge favorites. It was just a weird spot. And then in week two, they got a Titans team that frankly probably doesn't have a great defense right now. Whereas the Dolphins actually played the Pats and the Bills pretty close, all things considered. And I think Nick Costas, our former coworker, and I were texting about this. He was like, I think the Dolphins are free money, like plus three. Like they're just the better team. And I think he might be right. And the Jaguars.
He was right.
He was right. Yeah. And man, Minshew.
Well, Brinson, to your point real quick, I think we were in the same boat as far as Jacksonville goes. I don't think you can look down on those first 2 weeks of the season. They looked impressive. You can say what you want about the Colts. They're starting a new quarterback. You know, they weren't fresh and Phillip Rivers threw a backbreaking interception like Phillip Rivers always does. Last week against the Titans, the Jacksonville offense looked good. I mean, say what you want about the Titans defense held Denver to 12 points in week one. And that was Denver, the only week this season where they're probably going to be at full health. Could only score 12 points. So it's not like this was a bad Tennessee team. There was a good reason that people were on Jacksonville. But I think the second part is where you hit the nail on the head is that I think a lot of people were just underestimating the Dolphins because they were 0-2. That Patriots game that they played in week one, it was 14-11 with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So we're talking, that was a very winnable game with Miami. Obviously,
they were beating the Bills
in the fourth quarter. So yeah. We're talking about they could easily be 2-0. And I think that
not easily. You say that every year, not easily could they be 2-0.
They could be 2-0. It's within the realm. This is not the Jets. The Jets could not be 2-0 based on what happened in the first 2 weeks of the season. I'll say if four or five plays went a different way, the Dolphins could be 2-0 versus the Jets. If 98 plays went a different way, they could be 2-0. And that's the difference right there. And so I just think there was a lot of underestimating, definitely by me and Brinson and Wilson, you picked them to cover. So maybe not so much, but I just think that we underestimated what the Dolphins did the first 2 weeks of the season against two good teams.
I will say this, And I don't know if we underestimated anything, because if you look at Football Outsiders, and they're all stats-based, it's, you know, how do you do on every play compared to every other team in that situation. Coming into this game, the Jaguars were 12th in the league overall. Their offense was 6th, their defense was 27th, and we saw why their defense was 27th as Ryan Fitzpatrick covered them up. But they were ahead of Tennessee, Dallas, San Francisco, Arizona, Chicago, all better than them in terms of DVOA. And the Dolphins are 31st. And do you guys want to guess who the 32nd team is in terms of total efficiency according to Football Outsiders heading into week 3?
Jets.
The Steelers?
No, it's even sadder than that.
The Eagles.
Don't say the Bengals. It's the Eagles?
No, it's the Eagles.
Thank God. I didn't want anybody on this podcast sorry, Debo.
Wait, was that a good stat or a bad stat?
That the Eagles are dead last in DVOA?
Oh, yeah, I knew that. I saw Aaron Schatz tweet that out, yeah.
Okay, well, you could have answered the question as such instead of staring off into space.
I'll tell you what I was reading later. I don't want to talk
thinking about
that.
Chest hair.
Brinson can't talk about it because I'm not going to say why.
You have to watch YouTube to find out.
So do the Jaguars have a Gardner Minshew problem, or do the Jaguars have a Gardner Minshew solution?
That was my question. So after 2 weeks, I was like, okay, no need to worry about Trevor Lawrence. So right now, if Trevor Lawrence is there and you're the Jaguars, you have that pick.
That's a no-brainer.
Right.
Well, it's a no-brainer.
I'm going back to school for a
graduate. If you're Jacksonville, if you have the number one overall pick, it's because Gardner Minshew wasn't good. So it's obviously you take him. I think the issue is, what if you go like 5-11 and you have the 5th overall pick and maybe you could trade up the number one with the right amount of ammo? That is when it gets dicey. Do you think about doing that, or do you say, this is Minshew's first year as a starter. He got us to 5-11. Maybe that is where, you know, you start to ask the questions. But if they have the number one overall pick, you take them because that means Gardner Minshew wasn't any good.
Let's say they're 5-11. And just like the Chargers did, they took Justin Herbert. They had more of a reason to because they were getting rid of Philip Rivers. But let's say that the Jaguars like Justin Fields and he's there at 5 and he's, you know, as good as Justin Herbert, let's say, in terms of, by the time we get finished with all this, you're probably taking him there too. Given what we saw tonight from Gardner Minshew, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that if they go 5-11, I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, Minshew could be good. They could go 5-11. Like, this team sucks. They suck.
Well, let me see this defense, would you
their defense
take Justin
is young and terrible. Well, their offensive line isn't very good. Cam Robinson got tossed in this game unfairly, by the way.
Completely unfairly. That was the worst call of the season.
If DJ Chark's not there, like, Laviska Shenault's awesome, but, I mean, how are you not getting – I didn't think it was a very good offensive game plan. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that we're knocking Minshew when he didn't have his top receiver. You know, Minshew tore up the last 2 weeks.
Look, Chris Conley was wide ass open to quote Bruce Arians in the back of the end zone, and he overthrew him by 40.
It was a bad throw.
Now, Chris Conley dropped about 27 passes leading up to that. So fair enough. I mean, it wasn't all on Minshew, but I'm saying if you're in a position to take a franchise quarterback, it's hard to pass on one. Because Minshew isn't the slam dunk answer. That's all I'm saying.
Minshew is not the slam dunk answer. We don't know what he is. We just don't.
I was actually thinking coming into this game, if the Steelers had Gardner Minshew last year, they go to the playoffs. Like, he is certainly better than Mason.
I would agree with that.
And Duck Hodges. But again, he ain't going to
supplant. Let me ask you this. What if Gardner Minshew's just Ryan Fitzpatrick?
That's great. He'll have a 15-year career, and he can grow the mustache as long as he wants and come in and, you know, be a gunslinger for 4 or 5 games and win 2 or 3 of them. And that's what's wrong with that.
And you mentioned Chris Conley's drops and Minshew overthrew him. I want to say Chris Conley had 2 huge plays on Jacksonville's first drive of the second half. The Jags had 3rd and 5 at their own 42-yard line. Conley dropped it. It was a throw about 20 yards downfield and Conley just flat out dropped it.
Awful.
Minshew made a great, fantastic throw. Very next possession, Jacksonville has in 3rd and 3. Conley catches it, but he gets called for offensive pass interference. And so again, boom, that blows up in their face. And you know what happens on the next play? So 3rd and 3 becomes 3rd and 13 because of the interference. The Dolphins sack Minshew and he fumbles it. And you can't have those fumbles, but you know, you're only backed up that far because of Chris Conley's offensive pass interference mistake. So his drops came in bad situations. His receivers weren't helping him.
That OPI was terrible, almost as terrible as the Cam Robinson call. But the drops.
If you had to guess, coming into this game, where do you think Jacksonville ranked in terms of third down conversions, And what percent do you think they had?
They were probably top five. And I mean, they can, because I mean, the first game, Gardner went 19 to 20.
I'll guess 69%.
I'm gonna guess 71%.
Okay, that's ridiculously too high. Nobody hit 71%. The Jaguars were number one in the league coming to this game at 62.5%. After last year converting 34.6% of their third downs. And you know what? That's on us too. That's on us for not, right, exactly. Not realizing there's going to be some regression in the mean, even if it's in the form of drops or like bad spots, or you're just not, you know, like any number of different reasons. And tonight they were 3 of 10 converting third downs. That's probably why they lost the game. I mean, Breach talking about Conley's drop and then Conley's pass interference just sort of got my wheels turning on that. I remember that they had been really high on third down coming into the game. You can't live on third down. You can't do it. You can't do it in high school football, maybe high school football. You can't do it in college football. Can't do it in professional football. You definitely, I mean, you really can't do it in the NFL. Like, you can't live on third down.
But here's the thing. That's, I mean, granted, you look at that number and at some point, okay, this, is it going to be this week, week three? Is that when they come back to earth? The Dolphins defense sucks. I mean, they were absolutely railroaded. I mean, Josh Allen lit them up for 400 yards. He didn't have a 300-yard passing game prior to this season, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
He had one in week one and then
400-yard passing game, I guess, yeah.
So, I mean.
I will say this. So, like, I thought that what the Jaguars did, the mistake they made offensively, was that they kept lining up in, like, power run formations with Minshew under center and would run James Robinson into the middle, and Miami was just piling in on the center of the offensive line. Now he had a bunch of great runs, but I mean, he was, you know, he only ended up with, but he had a monster game and he still only had 46 rushing yards because he had 83 receiving yards on six catches. And the Jaguars were so much better offensively. This shouldn't be a surprise because he played in the effing air raid when they let Minshew sit back in shotgun and play with some tempo and spread it out. And you could have run Robinson that way and it like make a quick decision and make a throw. And I get it that, you know, they did it. Most of the returns you got on them were, you know, in the second half. And I don't know. I just think that the offensive game plan was not what you wanted it to be. Like, they should have opened it up and let him throw.
And yeah. Another, and you mentioned the offensive coaching. Yeah, the offensive game plan. Also, Doug Marrone had a weird thing in this game. So they went for it on fourth down three times, right? You know when they should have gone for it on fourth down and they didn't? On their very first possession. The Dolphins were up 7-0. Jacksonville gets 4th and 4 at Miami's 45-yard line. Like, that is not a situation. You're in Miami territory. There's no reason. If it's under 4th and 5, you absolutely go for it. If it's over 4th and 5, I get thinking about it a little bit more. But and the perplexing thing,
He punted for 25 yards. Net 25 yards.
But in the second quarter, he had 4th and 6 from Miami's 36, and he went for that, and they didn't get it. So it just does, and then obviously, like you said, you get no net yardage there. You only gain 25 yards or
you moved
whatever.
From the 45 to the 20. Like,
and,
what
and then Miami
doing?
Drives down and scores a touchdown, goes up 14-0. It's game over. It's like, if you're going to give up the 25 yards means nothing in the situation. You get the first down, you drive down, you tie the game, and all of a sudden, you know, you grew your onions later in the game, but this is, you got to go for it on that first drive, Dougie. You can't just decide later in the game, oh, we're down 21-0 or 14-0. We got to start going for these fourth downs. And they went 0-for-3 on fourth downs. And maybe everything would have changed if he would have showed some confidence in his offense on that first drive, which he did not.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the team that actually won, the Miami Dolphins.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're guilty of that, and maybe everybody's guilty. I feel like we do it a lot. We talk about the team that lost first before the team that won. But it just felt like
we talk about the mistakes that led to the outcome, and That's usually
well, it just felt like coming into this game, the Jaguars were 3-point favorites. And they pooped their pants in front of 17,000 Jaguars fans at home in a game where, like, you get to 2-1 and you're like, whoa, like, do we have a shot at the playoffs? Which is ridiculous, of course. But, like, I mean, you at least have to be thinking that at 1-1 or like, all right, we're in the mix in the division. Like, if Tennessee loses this week in Minnesota, you know, we're tied for first place in the division. I mean, that's not nothing in 2020 when it, like, who the hell knows what can happen in 2020? You know, I mean, Minshew, you know, you start to feel good about Minshew. You're playing against a team that's 0-2 with a bad defense. And so I guess that's why we're talking about it first. Miami, on the other hand, Ryan Fitzpatrick just came out guns blazing. I wonder, I had somebody tweet me this. I wonder if, was this a little, I didn't think about this until just now. Is this a revenge game for the Buffalo years, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Doug Marrone?
I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick cares.
I think Marrone got rid of him.
He could have, but I mean, he's been on 8 teams. So he has a lot of revenge games lined up if that's the case. This is what we always see. I mean, don't forget a few years ago when he did this with the Buccaneers, he came sashaying into the press box, into the press room dressed. Whose outfit was he wearing?
Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Deshaun Jackson. He traded with Deshaun.
Oh, I thought it was Deshaun. Thank you, Breach.
You're welcome.
Self-dunk again by Brinson. But the point is that, you know, there it is.
Wait, how did I dunk on myself?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a dunking.
You called me an old guy because I didn't know who it was. And in fact, it was Deshaun Jackson, not Conor McGregor. But
he was dressing like Conor McGregor.
But it was Deshaun's clothes. I think that's...
You know what? But Doug Marrone did cut Ryan Fitzpatrick.
But again, he's played on 8 football teams.
But it's also hilarious. And then Doug Marrone quit on the Bills when he, like, had that weird option in his contract. He's like, you know what? I don't want to coach you guys anymore.
And damn it. I wish I thought of that angle before this game. I definitely would have taken Miami.
Well,
Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're going to pick the Dolphins to beat every team that Ryan Fitzpatrick has played for because they're winning the Super Bowl then.
No, just to beat all his old coaches, anybody who's cut him, any of his old coaches who have cut him. Here's the headline. Shocker, Colin. Bills release Ryan, quarterback Ryan. He was their start. Chan Gailey just giving him like an $80 million contract. This was a shocking release.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I picked him to cover. What do you want me to tell you? I did my homework. I didn't
just
want to
minutes in the league, new league year, the Buffalo Bills and new coach Doug Marrone announced they released starting quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick after 2 inconsistent seasons as starter. Lorenzo Reyes video on there.
Do you want the story to get better? Because then not only did he cut Ryan Fitzpatrick, he drafted EJ Manuel in the first round and said, all right, man, we're getting rid of Ryan Fitzpatrick and we're taking EJ Manuel.
Yeah.
But Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy that you always are looking to replace. I mean, fair or not. And he just hangs around forever and
he signed a 6-year, $60 million contract in 2.
But he's cool with being replaced. He's got so much money in his bank account. He's like, I'm out. I'm the perfect bridge quarterback because I don't care if you put me on the bench, but I'm going to go out there. I'm going to win games and run around like a crazy man and take hits and get first downs. I mean, he caught his own pass. The man caught his own pass.
He caught his own pass earlier in the game. He was a lead blocker on a run play for Myles Gaskin and he was actually moving. I was impressed with how well he ran and he was laying people out with blocks. Yeah. I think he's fine with being a backup. I think he's fine.
Oh my God. I totally forgot.
All right. Good. I think he's fine with being the guy.
Brian, you'll remember this.
That's going to ultimately be replaced by a franchise quarterback that's been drafted. Now I'm done, Brinson. Go ahead.
Do you remember in 2013?
No.
God, I forgot about this. When the phone call prankster. When the phone call
got online on the Bills general manager.
Got Buddy Nix and Mark Dominic on the phone together and like released the audio. And like Buddy Nix was just bitching and moaning about Ryan Fitzpatrick the whole time. He's like, we're talking about trading picks. And he's like, we're still struggling here with our quarterback. We're not really struggling. He's going to have to do something and we'll have to. He's like, we just can't afford to pay that kind of money for a guy who's fighting for probably a backup job. And then they released him a little while later. God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you guys want some Ryan Fitzpatrick trivia mixed in with a fun fact?
Yeah.
Go crazy.
Fun fact. Ryan Fitzpatrick has thrown a touchdown pass against the Jaguars with 5 different teams, which is an NFL record. Can you name the 5 teams he has played for? Yeah. When throwing a touchdown pass against Jacksonville.
Bengals, Bills, Texans. Are those all right?
Just go. Name five, and I'll tell you.
The five teams that Ryan Fitzpatrick has thrown a touchdown pass against the Jaguars with.
Yes.
So Jets. First of all, you the Titans is number. You have to have the Titans in there because they play Jets. In the same division.
Did we get them all?
Hold on. You're just guessing random teams.
I'm guessing teams he played for. What are you talking about?
Titans. He's played for a quarter of the league. So wait, Titans.
How many do we have right, Breach?
Titans, Texans.
I lost track after.
Titans, Texans, Jets, Bills.
All teams I said.
And Dolphins.
Dolphins, yeah.
No, on the Texans.
Bengals, on the Texans.
Yes, on the Bengals. So that was the fifth. So you got four out of five.
I said that.
Or you named six teams, Ryan, so I don't know if that counts as.
Because
I'm
going to
give you guys four out of five. That's what you got.
No, right. That's five out of five. Ryan got that.
No other quarterback in NFL history has even thrown a touchdown against one team with three different teams, or four different teams. Fitzpatrick has done it with five. So Jacksonville has to deal with him in five different uniforms. It's kind of crazy. There you go. Good job, guys.
Yeah, I just found a story for me in 2012, in December.
I love that Brinson uses the podcast to take a stroll down Brinson memory lane.
I forgot that Mark Dominic and Buddy Nix got pranked by the old merge the calls prank. Anyway,
this game was Ryan Fitzpatrick single-handedly won it. I mean, besides the Dolphins defense showed up, four sacks of Minshew, that was huge. So they did a lot better than we probably thought they were going to do based on the Bills and the Patriots games. I mean, but this was all Ryan Fitzpatrick. We talked about his 18 to 20. He was their second leading rusher, hit a rushing touchdown on that quarterback draw. He caught his own pass. He did everything.
Rusher, passer, thrower. The prop bet that you guys should have been on, and I only know about this because Jonathan Jones talked about it on HQ, the pregame show. 14.5 rushing yards for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And Minshew's over too in rushing yards. It was stupid.
And
Fitzpatrick always hits
Minshew over 22.5 completions, which was my lock.
Boom. Did that hit?
Yeah.
Oh, it hit by 20.
Oh, he had 30. Jeez Louise. Guy who's captain check down. Anyway, yeah. I mean, look. I think there's a lot of positives here for the Dolphins. Mike Gesicki, you caught a touchdown. Looks like he only had 15 receiving yards, but he only had three targets and one catch that touchdown because the Dolphins weren't throwing. But he continues to flash. Think he might be the real deal and starting to come into his own. Definitely worth a fantasy pickup if you're struggling at the tight end position. Devontae Parker, you know him, you love him. 69 yards in your face, Ryan.
Still not 100% either, so he's only going to get better.
That's right.
I got it.
Preston Williams got a touchdown pass. He doesn't look like he's all the way back from his ACL injury last year, but still.
Great catch. Breach talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick. That was a fantastic throw to a tight window. Preston Williams made a great catch.
And Myles Gaskin is legit. He's fun.
You know what's funny? Like, I was thinking about Myles Gaskin. I was thinking about LaVisca Chenault during this game. Myles Gaskin didn't test well, but I liked him at Washington. But I was like, he's a day three pick. I think he went undrafted.
Yep.
It's just, you can't get locked in on these guys based on just college and then crappy combines or whatever. I mean, you have
this
to.
This is good. And I know these teams suck, but like, this is a good lesson and don't pay running backs. I mean, Myles Gaskin's good and John Robinson. Is it John or James Robinson?
James.
James Robinson's great. John Robinson. No, Titans GM. James Robinson's awesome. And like, both these guys were undrafted.
That's
don't need Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, who, by the way, aren't playing.
That's why they cut Fournette.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, James Robinson's just better than Fournette. Defensively, Miami's got a little way to go.
They did better last week against the Bills. They played man defense the entire game, and all they did were run crossing routes. And Josh Allen,
Where was that tonight? Jay Gruden.
They played a little more zone tonight. It looked like, so at least they mixed it up. But yeah, there was nothing. There was just like as you've said throughout the podcast. Let's run the ball up the middle and see what happens.
Yeah. I like what Miami's doing. Anybody who came into the season expecting Miami to win the AFC East was kind of tricking themselves.
What reason? But I think that we thought seven wins was reasonable.
No, I thought it'd be five or less personally.
All right. I liked all the
I ranked the Dolphins as my number one last place team from 2019, with the best chance to finish in first place in 2020.
Okay. Do you still agree with that take?
You know what? The Cardinals probably. I had them at three.
The Cardinals probably.
Well,
in the first place.
They're tied for first place with two other very good teams, and the Dolphins are going to be. If the Bills lose to the Rams, the Dolphins are one game out of first place after 3 weeks, and that's assuming the Patriots win against the Raiders. So, and even if they do, they're still one game out of first place.
Don't hear yourself.
At least he didn't say the Bengals. That's all I'm happy about.
Yeah, I had the Bengals ranked 6. I took my heart out of it. So, yeah, I mean, the Dolphins, like you said, Ryan, I think they could still get the 7 wins. I don't think that's too crazy.
They're starting two rookies on the offensive line, one on the left tackle, one on the right guard. So, I mean, there are a ton of young guys on that Jaguars defense, and they're just not coming together. Whatever, that's fine. I think they'll be good at some point, but they're not there yet. But I think all the young guys on that Miami offense, and we haven't seen Tua yet. I'm guessing we see Tua when Ryan Fitzpatrick hits his inevitable rough patch. But for now, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick
and is here. Listen to this. Week 10 through week 13, this is who the Dolphins play. The Jets, the Jets, two times in a row with a bye in between, and the Bengals.
That's 3 wins, 3 free wins.
All of a sudden, they're
if
up
we don't
to
get
4 wins.
Maybe we won't get 2 a bird. Anyway, this game sucks. Let's get out of here. We talked as much as we possibly could. We will be back to, if you're listening, we'll be back today. Or later today, the Picks Pod will be up. It's fire. 2 straight weeks of podcast parlays have hit. I'm sure we'll go for a third. Talk to you guys later.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.